With the Word of God open before us, can we just bow for a brief moment's prayer, please? Father in heaven, we've been singing about that time when we will stand in thy presence, when the redeemed of God will see thee face to face, when we'll tell the blessed story that we were saved by sovereign grace. And Lord, we again do pray that thou wilt still our hearts now as we consider thy truth and minister unto thy people and to the unsaved. We pray that you will cause a crisis in their thinking and bring them through for the Saviour's sake. We do thank thee, Heavenly Father, for the Word of God, which is quick and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, and it pierces even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, the joints of the marrow, and it's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Help us this evening as we endeavour by the grace of God to just share the simplicity of God's truth, even with thy people here. For we ask these things in the Saviour's name. Amen. Quite often when we turn to this portion of Scripture in the second book of Kings in chapter 5, the focus all too often is upon Naaman, the host of the king of Syria. He was captain, rather, of the host of the king of Syria. And we hear, of course, of his credentials there in verse 1, that he was a great man. He was a great man with his masters. He was an honourable man. We read that by him the Lord had given deliverance to his people. He was a mighty man, we read of in verse 1. And then there's a but comes in. But he was a leper. And this awful disease of leprosy had taken hold upon Naaman, and he grew far more the worse as day followed day. And all too often when we come to this portion of Scripture, gospel preachers home in on Naaman and his condition and all that was to unfold when he went before Elisha and he was told to go and to dip in the Jordan, and he refused to do it. And then his counsel came alongside him and said, listen, if the prophet would have asked thee some great thing, some mighty thing, would thou not have done this? How much more then when he just says to thee, go and dip 7 times in the Jordan. Sure, what have you got to lose, Naaman? And we know the story, don't we, how he went and he dipped 7 times, and then his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child. And the gospel application is that here is a man who, in all intents and purposes, is born again, the flesh of a little child. It's not so much Naaman that I want to speak of this evening, but rather it's a wee maiden girl who was to wait on Naaman's wife. And I suppose if we had a title this evening, it would be this: Little is Much When Our God Is In It. I'm sure you will agree with me that it's relatively easy to be faithful to God when everything in the garden is rosy in your life and in mine. It's easy to serve the Lord when the blessing of God beams down upon our life and testimony, when you and I are riding on the crest of a wave for the God of heaven. In those times, it's easy to serve him. It's easy to love the Lord in those days. It's very easy to worship him and to be faithful unto the God of heaven when the sea of your life and mine is ever so calm and ever so stable in our Christian pilgrimage and walk. But friends, what about when the storm comes? What about when the lights all of a sudden go out and you and I are left in a place of darkness? What about when all our plans and all our programs have been disrupted and frustrated? And when the circumstances of our lives are changed in just a moment of time? It was approximately about 2 years ago, on the 21st of August 2020, that I had two business appointments. The first one was in a place called Castle Rock. It's way up there on the north coast in the Coleraine vicinity. But the second appointment was in County Donegal. I'd never been to this place before. It was a place called Muff. I was advised that the best way to get to Muff from from Castle Rock was to take a trip across the River Foyle, to go via the ferry. And so I drove the car onto the ferry, and as we travelled across the River Foyle, I asked the charge hand, what's the best way to Muff when I descend from the ferry today? Do I turn right or do I turn left? He said, oh, you need to turn left. Just carry on along that road. He said, but wait a moment. He said, there was an accident there last night. He said, in fact, I think that road is now closed. I was later told that during some horrendous weather conditions the night before, very sadly, a car careered off the grassy bank at Quigley Bay. It plunged into the River Foyle. A father died. His 12-year-old son, he died. His 6-year-old daughter, she died. And only the mother survived. Do you know, I was greatly burdened for that dear woman who lost everything in the space of a very, very short time. She became a big part of my prayer life over the next number of months. Her name was Geraldine Mullen. The funeral service was broadcast on UTV. And the sole survivor, Geraldine Mullen, said these words: in seconds, our lives were completely changed. Folks, this is the 2-year anniversary. Remember that dear woman. Remember the burden that she bears in these dark days, in these difficult days. Such events of dark providence, which we are sometimes called upon to face, are simply inexplicable. Events often overtake us, and all of a sudden we become victims of circumstance. We spoke of that this morning somewhat. Well, that's what happened in the life of this little maid that I want us to consider this evening. She's mentioned in only 3 verses of Scripture. That's all we've got to deal with this evening. In verse 2, we read that she was taken. In verse 3, we hear the words that she spoke, just 20 words. And in verse 4, we read of her testimony, or the impact that her life had on the lives of others. And that's all we have before us this evening. Three small verses in Scripture. There's a lot that we don't know about this woman. We don't know anything about her background. The Scripture is silent on that, other than she lived in Samaria. We don't know anything about her parents, really. We don't know if she had brothers or sisters. It mentions nothing in the Scriptures in relation to that. We don't even know her age or her name. But what a trophy of grace. This young girl, this young maid, was to become in the home of her kidnapper, who was Naaman. What an instrument she would be in the hand of a great God, and what a blessing she would become to Naaman and to his family. You see, one day this little girl awoke out of her sleep. The day seemed just like any other day as far as she was concerned, but little did she know that her family and everything around her was about to change within a matter of seconds. Unbeknown to her, the Syrian army, under the leadership of Captain Naaman, were heading for her city. Their intention was to destroy the city. It was to wipe out her people. It was to rob and to pillage the city of all its wealth, and then to take captive those who they thought could be of benefit to them. They were to take hostages and bring them bound and keep them in bondage. It's true, you know, that sometimes bad things happen to good people. And that's what happened to this young girl. She was kidnapped. She was swept away by the hand of a tyrant. She was taken to the home of this aggressor. And there she was to wait upon Naaman's wife. How true those words are in Proverbs 27, verse 1. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for we know not what a day may bring forth. Being taken from her home was bad enough, but this young maid was taken to the very home of a man who led the attack. The man who organized the raid upon her home, upon her town, upon her village. I wonder, can we get a glimpse of her this evening? As she goes to bed that night, now in a foreign place, now surrounded by people that she didn't really know, and how she weeps herself to sleep. Though I'm sure she thought of the folks back home and how they fared through the attack. But here she now is, a slave in Syria, in the very home of the kidnapper Naaman. Her lot now in this life was to wait upon Naaman's wife. We said that we didn't know much about her background, and we don't. She's referred to as just a wee maid, a little maid in Scripture. But what we do know is that she is about to have an influence in that home and a testimony which would reach the very palace in Syria. Furthermore, the testimony of her faith would be heard in the very ears of the king himself. In fact, it goes beyond that. Because here in the city of Belfast, thousands of years later, we are considering this wee maid that was taken from her home, taken from her family, but remained so faithful to the God of glory. Never think that the unwavering faithfulness that you display in life is a waste of time. That your faithfulness cannot reach the hearts and lives and souls of others. Friends, it can. The Lord takes the ordinary things in this life to do the extraordinary. He takes the natural in order to do the supernatural in this life. So never think that you can't be an influence for the God of heaven in this dark and evil age in which we live. But the Lord desires that you and I, dear child of God, just remain faithful to him no matter what life seems to throw at us. We are to be walking Bibles, walking epistles, the scripture says, known and read of all men. It's not our success that the Lord wants to see in our lives. It's not our bank balance or how much property and land we own. The Lord's not interested in our popularity, you know, but rather our faithfulness to him. And quite often, the Lord wants you to shine in your small corner for him, and he wants me to shine in mine. When problems seem to prevail, and they will in our lives, being faithful in the dark days, being faithful in the difficult days, is what he wants us to do for him. Trusting that the God of heaven will bring us through all our troubles. What was it that the hymn writer of old said? I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. Or is it that we go to pieces when problems come our way? When we face the storm and the issues of life, is it that we forget to be faithful to the God of heaven? Here was a little maid whose life had completely collapsed within just a few short moments, and it would never be the same again. What did she lose? Oh, she lost her family. We don't know if her parents were victims of this vicious attack, whether they were killed or whether they were taken captive also by the Syrian army. She lost her home. She now resided some 500 miles away. She lost her freedom. No longer could she choose to go where she wanted, when she wanted. She lost her liberty. She was now incarcerated and imprisoned in Naaman's home. But friends, in the midst of it all, she didn't lose her faith, you know. She didn't lose confidence in the God of Israel. She didn't lose the Lord, because the Lord was there in the difficult days as well as the good days. I don't know your circumstances this evening. I have no idea what problems or issues or obstacles you face in life, but I know a God who does. And he's brought you this far in life, and he's not brought you this far now to forsake you. But he does want to prove his people. And he does want you to go through with God your vows to pay and your life upon the altar lay. There may be a trial that's on its way to you or to me this week. We may be in the midst of a trial, or we may have just come through a trial. But beloved, remember, he's aware of our plight, you know. He's aware of your problems and of my problems. And furthermore, he inclines his ear unto our prayer. This wee maid, though she was so small, had unfeigned faith in the God of heaven. I want you to see the humility which she displayed. You see, we don't read of her creating anarchy in Naaman's home. We don't see her resisting the instructions of Naaman's wife. We don't read of her mounting a rebellion or being obstinate in her adolescent years. Oh, perhaps she had every reason to be rebellious. But we don't witness those attributes in her life. No, rather she exhibits somewhat of a Christ-like spirit. She, like the Apostle Paul, was of the opinion, "For I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." You see, I believe this young maid had been grounded in the scriptures of truth by God-fearing parents. And she saw that a kidnap, although difficult to accept, she saw her kidnap being part of the greater plan of God for her life. She didn't understand it. And friends, you and I sometimes won't understand the things that God permits in his will to come our way. She couldn't attempt to explain it, but she just believed that her times were in his hands. I have the great privilege in our fellowship in Hebron of taking the Bible class. Both myself and another ruling elder take it month about, and we decided that we would do a 5-week study on the life of Joseph. Well, that's what we planned, but the 5-week study turned into, I think it was about 2.5 years, as we looked at all the twists and turns in the life of Joseph. How what men meant for his bad, the Bible says God meant for his good. And how he was loved of the father, but he was despised of his brethren. And it was a life of ups and downs for Joseph. Sold to the merchant men of Midian, a very low point in his life, but then taken to Potiphar's house and elevated to a position of importance. And then Potiphar's wife, she tried to seduce him. And again, there's a low point in his life as he's thrown into the prison house and he's left there for years. All through faithfulness to the God of heaven. You know, he is a Christ type and a Christ-like image, Joseph. We never read of him doing anything wrong in the scriptures. Oh, I'm sure he was a sinner. But we don't read of anything that he really did do wrong. He was faithful to his master. He interpreted the dreams of the butler and the baker. And then we realize that he was forgotten about. Friends, does his life resemble yours? And does it resemble mine? Ups and downs, problems and difficulties, times of deep, deep valleys, and times of mountaintop experiences. Faithfulness to God. It's so important in your life and in mine. This young maid, she had to learn a new language. She had to consider a new culture. She had to serve a new schoolmaster now. But she did so with pure humility. It exhibits her life. It shows something of the character and the manner in which she was raised. What a tremendous testimony to her godly parents. What a job they did in the life of this young girl. She had a humble and a contrite heart. Let me say to the parents who may be with us this evening, never despise the responsibility that you have been given by God as parents to your children. Be sure to provide for them a firm foundation upon which they can build their young lives. The humility that she displayed, I want you to see the integrity which she demonstrated. What does that word integrity mean? Well, I went to the dictionary definition, and it means to be honest. It means to maintain strong moral principles. It means integrity is to follow your moral or ethical conviction in doing the right thing in all circumstances, even when no one is watching. Having integrity means that you are true to yourself and would do nothing to demean or to dishonor your credibility before others. And so this maid realized, this is God's lot for my life. I'm just part of his great plan and his great purpose, and so I'm going to serve my kidnapper with humility, in dignity, with reliability, exhibiting spirituality, and with great integrity. You see, the world, friends, were watching this little maid. Providentially, she realized, though young she was, that this has all happened to me for a purpose. What has befallen me is all in the sovereignty of a great God and for the furtherance of his truth. And she realized, this is no mistake, that I, of all the people who were taken, should be taken to the home of the man who led the assault. I believe that she noted that God had planned it, that God had purposed it for her life. And she came to the conclusion, he just wants me to shine for him in this dark place. And friends, if you're in that dark place today, be sure the world will be watching you. Will be watching your behavior, your conduct, your conversation. And he wants you to shine for him. The world will watch, you know, our walk, and the world will watch our talk, because we live our lives before a watching world. And so we can see the wisdom of this maid as she comes to the conclusion, I'm just going to be faithful to God. I'm just going to serve God. I'm going to let them see that there is a God in Israel with whom I have to do. I can just imagine, you know, Naaman's wife observing this little maid. She was so young to be taken from her parents. But she seemed to wait upon Naaman's wife oh so well. And so she watches her conduct. She notes her conversation. She sees the conviction and the compassion that she appears to have. I wonder, did she ever ask the maid a question? Do you miss your home? Do you miss your family? Oh, I could just see the maid, you know, seizing the opportunity to say, Mom, this is all part of the plan of God, so that I might reach you with his truth. It's all in the sovereignty and the plan of the God of heaven. For God is our refuge. For God is our strength, a very present help in times of trouble. The humility she displayed, the integrity which she demonstrated, the sympathy which she declared. Come with me to a few moments to the living quarters of Naaman's home. We read of it in chapter 5 and verses 2, 3 and 4. Naaman's wife, she appears to be downcast and depressed and distraught. Why? Because Naaman's leprosy grew worse and worse. They'd been to all the physicians and none could help his condition. And all the time, as the conversation takes place between Naaman's wife and her aides and her friends, the little maid listens on. Oh, perhaps she's bringing her clothing. Perhaps she's combing her hair. She's listening. She's watching. She observes the sobs of Naaman's wife. She strangely feels burdened and concerned, and she has a heart full of sympathy for the kidnapper. And all of a sudden, the maid cries out, this wee girl that never said a word. Look what she says in verse 3. Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And all of a sudden, the home was saturated with the presence of God. A faithful witness of a wee girl in such a dark and decrepit place. All of a sudden, those 20 words seem to penetrate the heart of Naaman's wife. Why? Because they were spoken with so much conviction, so much passion, so much assurance, so much authority. But with great sympathy as the tears roll down the cheeks of the little maid. Friends, that's not natural. It's supernatural. That's not ordinary behavior. It's extraordinary behavior. What an impact she makes for the God of Israel. She said, "There is a prophet in my native land. He'll cure your husband of his leprosy." Can we see her faith in the dark day, in the difficult day? The humility she displayed, the integrity she demonstrated, the sympathy which she declared. Friends, look at the testimony which she developed. Verse 4, "And one went in and told his lord, saying, 'Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel, and the king of Syria said, "Go to, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel."'" Her faithfulness and her testimony reached the very ears of the king of Syria. One went in and told his lord. Oh, when they saw the comments that she made, the compassion that she showed, the conviction that she had, the concern which she displayed, it convinced them all in the royal court that this maid meant business with God. I wonder what you and I would have done if we were in the same circumstances. If we were hearing that our kidnapper was failing in health, that his condition got worse day by day, I wonder if there would have been a spirit of delight in your soul and in mine. I wonder if we would have thought within ourselves, well, there's a payday someday, and that day's today. Just look how the Lord used her. Can you see her testimony, her faithfulness, as all that she said moved beyond the courts of Naaman's home, and her God-fearing life reached the throne of Syria? Because you see, little is much when God's in it. She was so low in life, wasn't she? But now she's elevated to such a position because of her conviction. She was so weak as a maid, but now, oh, she's so powerful in the presence of her kidnappers. She was so little, so tiny. But friends, now she's so great. She was so insignificant in that home. But now she's mighty. And kings begin to correspond one with another, all because of what this wee maid had said. You see, she simply exercised faith in her God. You and I stand upon the threshold of a new week, and with this, I'll close. We don't really know what problems, what obstacles, what difficulties we may have to face over the next few days, over the next few weeks. For all we know, our lives could change in a matter of moments. But God wants us to be faithful. And God wants to prove us in the dark place. And the Lord wants us to be a witness for Him, because a God that cannot be tested cannot be trusted. It may be that we have to prove Him. And if the world can see Christ in the midst of my crisis, then it will have been worth it all. We have, I suppose, targeted our remarks this evening to the people of God, to those that know and love Christ. But it could be that there is someone here this evening and you don't know this maid's God. You haven't the same unfeigned faith that she has in the God of Israel. You've never come and trusted in the maker and creator of the heavens and the earth. I want to tell you, friend, you're not here by chance this evening. God has determined in His providential wisdom and power that you should be drawn under the influence of His word. And He's bringing you to a crossroads this evening. What will you do with Jesus, which is called Christ? Are you going to trust Him with your life? Or this evening, are you going to forsake Him like you've forsaken Him so many times before? Are you going to embrace Him and crown Him as King? Or are you going to trample underfoot the blood of His only begotten Son? We often sing that hymn, don't we? Is your life a channel of blessing? And there's a question mark. Is the love of God flowing through you? A question mark. Are you telling the lost of the Saviour? Are you ready His service to do? And the chorus simply says, Lord, make me a channel of blessing today. Make me a channel of blessing, I pray. My life possessing, my service blessing. Lord, will you make me a channel of blessing today? Oh, it's my prayer that you will make that the prayer of your heart. That the Lord might sweep sinners into His kingdom this night, and that you will start out for heaven and for home. Let's bow together for prayer. Father in heaven, we just thank Thee for a sense of liberty this evening as we've considered this little maid. She's often bypassed, even in this portion of Scripture. We so often say and read these three verses and we don't spare a thought for her faithfulness, for her love for the Lord. And without the faithfulness of this wee maid, Naaman would never have been cured. And so, Lord, we pray that you will help your own people to be steadfast, unmovable, and always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as we know that our labors are not in vain in the Lord. Help us to press through with God as a people, to bear a true and a faithful testimony in this dark and evil world in which we live. And Lord, grant that we might burn bright and eventually burn out for the Lord Jesus Christ. That the world might see that we have been with Jesus and we've learned of him. Save souls. If any are gathered in, Lord, and they know not Christ, we pray that this might be the night when they'll start out for heaven, when they can say, 'Tis done, the great transaction's done, for I'm my Lord's, and now he is mine. Bless us in the closing moments, we pray, in the Saviour's name. Amen.